right, let's leave our Bibles open to Acts chapter number 27 tonight. Thank you for being here, and I am looking forward to a great summer. We always plan a great summer here, and I know some of us are out of town off and on throughout the summer, but we always plan a great, great summer. I don't want to just shut it down. There's a lot to accomplish and a lot of good time, and just being with the church family. And so I hope you'll join us and be with us in many of the things we're doing this summer. Can I get a little more volume over here on my monitors? I can't hear them as well. I don't want to lose my voice here. I've always loved this chapter in the book of Acts and what it represents and some of the truths in here. And I want to share a little bit of that tonight. I actually, during college, I preached through this chapter many, many years ago. I preached at it here. There's just so many good thoughts, and I want to share a specific thought for us tonight. All of us, in one way or another, we are either a leader or a follower, or in many cases, in areas of our life, we are both, okay? And whether we're a leader or a follower, in an instance, we all have to make decisions. And as I've said on many occasions, decisions impact our life. Where you end up in life, what's going on in your life, what's going on in your family, all of those are basically, if you look back on it, decisions you've made in your life. And if you make the right decisions, you're going to end up in a really good place. The thing we need to understand is, and we need to be careful about, is how are we making our decisions? What are the factors in our life that we use to help determine our decisions? When we make bad decisions, it's typically because we use the wrong factors and we use the wrong information to make that decision. And these decisions that we make, again, are very important in our life. Spiritually speaking, if we're going to make right decisions, you know, if you're deciding what you're going to eat after dinner, after church for dinner, that's not a life-changing decision. Unless you eat enough of McDonald's, it could be a life-altering decision. It could be a life-killing decision. I got this little thing. I put it in our family feed, but a kid set up Taco Bell. And, you know, you're on Twitter, you can go there and you can tag him. And he said, thanks for dinner tonight. He put at Taco Bell. And, you know, these companies sometimes respond. And Taco Bell responded and say, hey, that's great. What did you get? And the kid responded, diarrhea. So... okay, we'll leave that one alone. That's not a life-altering decision, but there's decisions you can make that'll just change the trajectory of your life. And so that's what I'm talking about from a spiritual standpoint. Every decision has a real-world consequence, good or bad. Spiritual consequences have real-world consequences, but the fact of the matter is they have eternal consequences. And we need to make those. And let me give you a couple quick illustrations by way of comparison here. You know, I made a decision when I was younger, which helped my life as a new Christian. I've mentioned it often, particularly in the college and the high school setting. But as a young person, 6 months going to church, that's all I had done. I was out of high school already. I quit high school. I was out early. And I'd been going to church 6 months, my whole life. 6 months. That was it. 17-year-old. And I went to my office to talk to my pastor about something else. I just went to talk to him. I didn't even have an agenda. I just heard that people went into the office and talked to the pastor. I heard him give illustrations. I'm like, I've never done that. So I set up a schedule. And I went in there and I sat down and we're just chewing the cud, you know. And I think he figured out I had no agenda. I was clueless. And he's like, Steve, you need to go to Bible college. And I was like, whoa, this took a seriously evil turn right here. Bible college? I didn't even finish high school. I'm going to go to Bible college? And then he opened up his drawer and he already had a packet of information. He said, let me fill out the application for you. I'm like, well, time out. He pushed me to go, and I just thought, you know what? He thinks that's best for me to go. I'll go. Amen. By the way, that wasn't some just arbitrary decision for him. He knew where I was at in my life. He knew what was going on, and he knew that's the next step I needed. And I'm glad I followed him. I met my wife there. Pastor Esposito, we had grown up together. We were best friends. It was because of him I was saved, but... After I got saved, not long after that, he had already taken off to Bible college, and I wasn't serving the Lord at that time, so we had kind of gotten away from each other. But while I was at Bible college, kind of renewed that friendship and working together with him for a short time on the bus route, and that led to eventually me coming here and being a part of the church plant here and now being a part of it as the pastor. All of that because I made that decision. Now, on the other hand, pastor's given this story, if you were here when Pastor Esposito was here, he's given this story before. He had someone that lived with their family, and I knew the fellow well. And he got saved eventually, and he was serving God, as was Pastor Esposito and Brother Johnny. And they had all decided to go to college together. Well, when that fall came, both of Brother Esposito's went to Bible college. This guy, he liked to play basketball, and he started playing with some guys. They really weren't the best guys for him. They kind of like, you know, he kind of decided, I'll just kind of put off going to Bible college. And he didn't go that semester. And he started hanging with these guys. I knew a couple of these guys. These were the guys for a while I hung around with, and I'm like, these are bad guys. I quit hanging around them, and I wasn't the best guy in the world, but these guys were like over the top bad. And what happened is he was hanging with them one night, and they shot and killed somebody. Well, the two guys that did it, and I know the one guy well, we were in the same class in grade school and junior high, he got caught first, and he blamed the other guy. And the other guy got together, let's blame him. And he went to jail. He was in for probably 25 years. His life was ruined because he made a bad decision. I'll never forget. My last Sunday before I was going off to Bible college, I was going away. That Sunday night, he came into the service, and I hadn't seen him in years. And I kid you not, and I'm not, this isn't just preacher talk. I went up after the service, hey man, how you been? He's like, well, things aren't going very well. And he literally looked white as a ghost. Well, 2 days later, he was arrested. But he made a bad decision. Now, I'm not saying, okay, if you make a bad decision, you're getting up in prison. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying sometimes we let wrong influences come. I'm glad when my pastor said, this was what I think your next step, and not that I'm God or I'm not, this is a message about me telling you what to do, but I'm just saying, that was the good step for me. That was the next step for me. I'm glad I followed through on it. And our whole life is made up of these things because our decisions have real life consequences. And I want you to see a little bit of that tonight. I love this story. There's so much you can get from this story. Paul had already declared that he was going to go to Rome. And so as he was out preaching, he got arrested on several occasions. He was threatened and beaten on several occasions. And one time he was in a tough position. And the right of a Roman citizen was they could appeal to Caesar if they felt they were being mistreated. And Paul, although he was not Roman, he had Roman citizenship. And he decides, you know what? I appeal to Caesar. And so eventually he's going to go. And so now they're on their way. And they're on the ships going. They get on a ship to go to end up there. They go from Myra, and the trip is very difficult because of the winds that are there. They find a large grain ship. They get on that. And as their journey, it brings them to a place called the Fair Havens. It's probably, if you can see by the weather that's happening, it's probably late fall. And so, you know, if the bad weather comes in, you're not going to travel by ship. You need to find a place to winter and to harbor for a while. And so that's where they're at right now. And they're going to make a decision as whether to stay at Fairhaven or continue and go to a better place, physically speaking, about 40 miles away. Paul counsels them not to go. Now, Paul's a prisoner. Okay, he's not on the top of the list of the leaders on the ship. That's why I always love this story. And they don't listen to him. They listen to some other voices. They go, and they head right into a storm. And eventually, the ship is broken apart, and they land on a, it's like not Gilligan's Island, but they land on an island, and they're stuck there. Now, they lost everything except for their lives. The thing was, they made a horrible decision. The gist of this story, I've always thought, is about Paul as becoming a leader, but there's a second part. Paul stepped up to help them to try to make the right decision. But there were those who ignored and made a bad decision because they listened to the wrong people. And that's what I want us to see tonight. The two great lessons we can learn from Acts chapter 27 is leading right and following wrong. And I want us to see some principles in both of these areas tonight, because all of us are going to be faced with decisions. By the way, the younger you are, all decisions are impactful, don't get me wrong. But for some of you young ones, your decisions are extremely impactful, because your life is a bit of a blank sheet. And you don't want to mess that up. Some of the most important decisions you're going to make are while you're young. And if you make the wrong decision, you can alter the course of your life in a very, very bad way. And so you want to make the right decision. But for all of us, we'll be faced with decisions in many different areas of life, and we want to make the right decision. So what I want us to see tonight is some principles that will help us for leading or being led right, and some principles, if we don't follow, that will cause us to follow wrong. So what's the 2 points? Number one, leading right. I love the story that, in fact, that Paul starts out with a prisoner, and at the end of the story, he's the leader. He's the one like, hey, it's time for you guys to sit down and eat. It's time for everything. And, you know, God gave him the message, yeah, we're going to lose the ship because you shouldn't listen to me, but everything's going to be okay. Because Paul was the right kind of guy. We understand that. By the way, it's amazing because only God could do that. Only God could take a prisoner on his way to talk to Caesar and make him kind of the leader of what is going on. Why did that happen? Because Paul led his life and made his decisions correctly and from a spiritual perspective. And that's how we should make ours, by the way. How did he do that? Well, first of all, if you're going to lead right or be led right, you got to follow wise discernment. Look at verse 10. And said unto them, this is Paul, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt. Paul says, I can already tell, and I think God clued him in. I can already tell. By the way, Paul was not a seagoing man. Paul had never, as far as I know from the scripture, Paul had never been a captain of a ship. Paul had never had to do this, but somehow God clued him in like, hey, I'm having some discernment here, and I see a bad decision coming, right? You ever see that? Someone's ready to make a bad decision? Years ago, we were at the couple's retreat at Big Bear, and there was a sign, and it said, every trip to the hospital always begins with this phrase, hey, dude, watch this. Okay, it's like, something bad's going to happen. And Paul's like, hey, I'm discerning here that this is going to be a really bad idea. Now, how could Paul know that? He didn't know the sea. He didn't know that. No, but Paul knew God. And Paul knew that God wanted him in Rome. And following his advice would have been the surest way to get there. You need to find someone, or you need to have spiritual discernment if you're going to make the right decisions in your life. By the way, don't always follow how things look on the outside. We'll look at that in a little bit. You need to have some spiritual discernment. Proverbs calls it prudence, being able to see ahead. Where will this decision lead me? Where will this get me to? Discernment. We cannot ignore spiritual insight, because that's the way to a bad decision. And so often what we do is we are really good at talking ourselves into thinking everything's okay when we are making a bad decision. I've sat in my office with people, and I can think of one in the last, I'll say, year and a half. And now I'm in the office, and this person's telling me this is what God wants. And I'm like, I can tell you 100% for sure that is not what God wants. They're like, no, no, no. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. I said, no, he did not. You say, Pastor, how come you would say that? Because it was a clear violation of Scripture. It wasn't even up for debate. I'm like, look, the Bible says this super clearly. And I know if the Bible says it, and you're saying the Spirit told you, the Spirit doesn't tell you to do something against the Bible. But we can talk, and there was no talking to them. They were convinced. Listen, the Bible's really clear on some things. And we can talk ourselves into violating Scripture when it's just, that's a really bad idea. How can we have this spiritual discernment? You know, maybe we need to pray sometimes and find out what God wants. Now, by the way, that is really easy. Just, I'm going to pray. I mean, put it on your list. By the way, if I was young and single, and I'm not, But I will say this right off the bat, when I was young and single, I put a couple of things on my prayer list. Lord, you need to lead me to who you want me to marry, and you need to lead me to where you want me to be and what you want me to do. That was just regular. That was years before that ever cleared up. Okay? And several years down the road, those weren't answered, but you know what? They're still there. They were still there. Now I don't have to pray about who I'm married to now. That's been covered, okay? But it's like, Lord, I want to know that. By the way, you need to do that. And by the way, can I just tell you something? Sure, Pastor, go ahead. Thanks. When you are praying about something, don't pray your will. Sometimes we're going to pray about something, and I guarantee you God's not going to answer if we've already had our mind's already made up. I'm just telling you. Don't even bother. That's like a waste of time. And there's nothing wrong with you saying, you know, I feel like God may want me to do this, and you're praying about it, but you better be open enough to where if God said, hey, you know what, that's not what I want you to do. And by the way, if God came to you and said, that's not what I want you to do, would you stop? When I was in college again, there was a good guy I knew, and he was dating this girl, and she was a good girl. There was nothing wrong. And they had dated for several years, and they got engaged. And his dad came down one time and said, let me talk to you. He goes, she's not a bad girl. You guys aren't bad together. He goes, but I just feel like she is not God's will for you. I just feel like that. And I don't think you should marry her. That's pretty heavy. I would have said, like, could you have told me that like 2 years ago? And you know what the guy did? He said, Dad, I don't understand it, but I'll trust you. But I'll trust you. What if God came to us and that thing we think in our future, this and that or the other, and God said, you know what? That's really not for you right now. You know why we struggle with that? And it's natural. Because we want to know then. Like, okay, God, if that's not what you want for me right now, can you tell me? And God's like, now's not the time. Because it might freak you out. But have you prayed about it? Well, you know, Pastor, I prayed about it and I had peace. I get it. So did Jonah. Jonah had a lot of peace as he was sleeping at the bottom of a boat that was going down. And I'm not saying that, but peace is not necessary. God will give you some peace, but that's not the determining factor. I will say that. I've looked for that in the Bible, and I know he gives me peace through prayer, but peace is not the determining factor. But pray. Also, search the scriptures. God, you know, God leads a lot through the scriptures. He'll show you what you're supposed to be doing. And if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, eventually God will show you where you're supposed to be doing it and who you're supposed to be doing it with. I'm not to give a bunch of college illustrations. I don't typically do that. But again, where I went to Bible college, the pastor said, listen, if you feel God wanted you to start a church, here's my advice. And you don't know where God wants you to start a church. Here's what he said. He said, pray about it for 6 months to a year. And if after 6 months to a year, you're not quite sure where God wants you to start the church, pick a needy city and go start a church. Because I'd rather have you do the right thing in the wrong place, God will straighten you out, than sit around doing nothing in the wrong place. But we know God wants us to serve him. So let's make sure we're doing it. And then get counseling. Counseling isn't to blow up everything. You want people that are going to help guide you on your way. By the way, if you're married, you have parents. No, if you're married, you have in-laws, and you know you have to work on that one. But if you're a child, you have parents. Your parents can help you along that path. There's people that can help you, but get counsel. You know, a lot of time the reason we don't want to go get counsel from people is because we don't want to hear something that's not what we want to do. Right? And I mean, look, you know, and I've said it before, and this isn't a mean thing, but if someone comes and they, hey, Pastor, can I have an appointment? And they just want to tell me what they're doing, and they don't have a question, then it's like, don't come talk to me. I mean, so you can tell me that outside. It's okay. You're already decided. But you know, you come for advice, and you just want me to rubber stamp what you're doing. I can't miss. And by the way, I'm not God. I'm not going to tell you yes, no, and all that stuff. I'll give you some guidance on what you should do. But the reason we don't want to talk to people sometimes, because they're going to tell us maybe what we don't want to hear. By the way, isn't that we'll talk about that in a minute. That's kind of part of what it is. It used to bother me, like, because my assistant pastor, people would come and they'd say, oh, I'm doing this. And I'm like, oh, that's great. You know, it's like, I'm thinking, Pastor Esposito, he told me that's great to do. And a couple times it was like, I don't think Pastor Esposito would say that. I remember one time I'm like, hey, pastor, so-and-so came and they said, like, you know, you told them to do this. He goes, I didn't tell them to do that. He goes, they just came and told me they were doing it. I'm like, okay, that's okay. None of my business, but okay. Anyhow, we're moving on. Let's get a little sorry. How else do we lead right and we are led right? Well, you speak hard truth. Look at verse 10 again. Now, Paul, understand. When we're talking about Paul here, think prisoner, okay? Prisoner, the lowest of the barrel on the ship, right? He has no say-so anyway, but he, verse 10, and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be, look what he says, with much hurt and much damage, not only of the landing in the ship, but also of our lives. You know what Paul said? This isn't going to end well. The prisoner. By the way, they did not want to hear that. You know how you can hear some, you know how you can tell sometimes you're getting led right? Because you're hearing something you don't want to hear. So, by the way, that was really weak. People don't like the truth anymore. Yeah, amen. Thank you, John. They just don't want to hear it. You talk all this morally political garbage that's going on, talk to these people. You know, you Christians believe this. You start to talk to them and you give them some reasoning behind it, they start yelling and leave. You know why? They can't debate with you. Because truth is truth. And so, but someone's got to say the truth sometimes. Right? I haven't said this in a while, but I've said it to people I've known well. They went, you know, oh, hey, you know, blah, 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 blah. What should I do? And I'm like, okay, look, do you want me to say something cute or do you want the truth? I'm saying that facetiously. Like, because you're asking me. Now, are you really asking me here? Because I'll tell you the truth on that one. Well, you know, like, okay, we're all good. Let's move on. But we have to be able to tell the truth. Paul was willing to say something that they maybe didn't want to hear, but for dead sure they needed to hear. And it didn't turn out right, but at least it wasn't because Paul didn't try. We don't like to tell the truth sometimes because we won't be liked, we'll probably be ignored, and you're the bad guy. And by the way, just in a spiritual leadership position, you just take it. People will say things about you that aren't true. By the way, when someone's critical of somebody, you might want to do a favor and first of all, not listen to it. But if you hear it, why don't you go talk to the other person and get their side of the story? Because usually it's embellished on the other side, but that was free, and that's another message. But you're not ready to lead anybody if you're not willing to tell the truth, whether or not a person likes it. And when I say truth, I mean the truth, not what you think. Okay? I'm not going to die on the sword of what I think, but I will die on the sword of what the truth is. Right? And you know what we do? We have a bunch of people around us that aren't willing to tell the truth. Our political leaders aren't willing to tell the truth. They give in to a vocal minority of people who are evil. They have no guts and no courage. Oh, this, by the way, they're dumb too, because that's not what people want. Whenever they do these dumb things, these companies that have done things, dumb things, they lose all kinds of money. It doesn't work out for them. Oh, yeah, I thought this was the thing to do. Well, duh. But we're afraid. Our leaders are afraid. You know what? Church leaders are afraid to tell the truth. And by the way, some people, oh, you're just a little bit too, and maybe I should tone it down a little. I don't know. Pray for me. But they want to go to some, look, I'm not going to be up here dressed like a 20-something. I'm into my 30s, and so I can't do that. Look, they want to be cool. Why don't we just give godly counsel? Do you know I will be accountable for not how you live? I will be accountable for what I say. And I don't like that, Pastor. I know, but as long as God's okay with it, it's all good. And by the way, if you don't, a newer person, you don't understand it, I'm okay with that. Hang in there. But why would we, you know, we have churches full of people that are having a good time and pastor gives your spiritual TED talk. You got your people up here doing their America Got Talent music skills, thinking they're the spiritual Madonna. That's really old school right there. Britney Spears? Taylor Swift? Okay, you're like, who are those people? Then our families. Sometimes we're afraid to say things in our families. By the way, Father's Day's next week, and the message won't be anything to do, you know, but fathers, be a father. Being a father means you say the things people don't want to hear. I just want to be a pal with my kid. Your kid doesn't need a pal. Sometimes he needs a pal. Okay? Well, you know, I just want my kid to do whatever they want, and I'm there when they make mistakes. Not me. They may make mistakes, but they should have heard it from you that was a really bad idea. Dad up. You really want me to say something? I'll say this, okay? I'm on your side, dads. My wife won't like it. That might be a sign it's a good thing. Don't be a jerk. Do not be a jerk. But if your kids and wife sometimes don't like what you say, you're not saying the right thing. One. Who said amen? I'm going to give you a buck. Was that you, Romero? No, Brother Ross, sit down. You wouldn't say amen, your wife would slap you. Come on. Be the dad. Well, you know, honey, I told you that wouldn't work out. Okay. Move on quickly. Okay. So anyhow, you got to say the truth. Let's not be afraid. And then how do you lead right? You got to reject selfish decisions. Look at verse 11. Here's what happens. Paul gives his two cents. He's not the guy. How do they respond? Verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Do you think the master and the owner of the ship had reasons to get out of there? Thank you. They wanted to get their load delivered and move on with their lives. They weren't looking at it from the safety of everybody. They were just being ignorant because this was going to help them. And so they're going to do their thing, and they're making a bad decision in the meantime. And the centurion just believed them and said, okay, let's go. Therefore, their counsel was selfish. Understand that a lot of bad decisions are based on selfishness. The selfishness of the person making the decision, they want what they want. And it could also be the selfishness of the person who is helping them to make the decision. By the way, you young people, your peers don't know anything. That was free. Well, my peer told me to read the Bible. Okay, they got that one right. All right. But I'm just saying, they can't give you life counsel. Everybody's running around as 18-year-olds. What should I do? Hey, this sounds cool. I'm going to do this. Oh, let's do that. And then you waste 2 years of your life. And it's like, wow, he didn't know what he was talking about. I could have told you that. Kid just barely learned how to tie his shoe. Okay? So let's be very careful. Let's get proper counsel. Now, so that's leading, right? But how do we follow wrong? And in this instance, they didn't, and it turned out very poorly for them. And let me say this: whether or not you follow right or wrong is your decision. It's nobody else's but yours. Many years ago, probably 30 years ago, I read a book. It was talking about Christian psychology and counseling, and it was kind of pros and cons or whatever. And a lot of that stuff's nonsense, anyhow. But I just remember one thing from the book that really struck me. He said, the success, when someone counsels somebody, the success of that counseling depends on one thing: the determination and commitment on the person being counseled to listen and to want to change. Right? So it's on you, and it's on me, whether we make the right decisions. And so what causes us to follow wrong? Let me give you a couple thoughts. First of all, you don't like your present situation. Look at verse 12. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in. You know what that means? Fair Havens was not the, you know, when they had to settle down, they had to settle down for months. I mean, you couldn't go out on the water. It's wintertime. It's over. So you had to stay there. And they're like, Fair Havens, that's just not a really good place to hang out. That was not like one of the top tourist destinations. They were going to be in a place that they really just didn't want to be at. Now, it was the safest place to be at, but it was some place that was not of the other options they had, all things being equal. It was not the best option. But it was the best option at that time because a storm was coming, and they weren't going to get to the other place. So you dislike your present situation. How many people make horrible decisions simply because they don't like what's going on right now? You know, sometimes life, you have to go through situations that aren't very good. It's just how it is. And when those times come, you can either get through it with God's help or you can try to run away, right? You know, what did everybody, they're still doing it in California because our governor's trying to empty the state, I think. But, you know, during COVID, I'm going to go to a more conservative state. And if someone did that, God bless them, okay? But, you know, our missionaries could call and say, you know, it's just not very conservative in Phnom Penh. I think we should move. It's a really bad idea. That's a bad way to make a decision. But we make decisions not because that place might not be the best for us, because we don't like what's going on right now. And by the way, let me just say this about that. Do you know problems are just a part of life? If you can find a problem-free place, let me go. I'll move with you. I will. I'll go. Okay, problems are everywhere. It's just part of life. You got to deal with it. Please don't make a decision based on the fact that something isn't good now. See, the grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence. And if the grass is greener, here's why. Because they have a really good landscaper. Someone has to take care of it. Someone's dealing with the weeds. Someone's watering it each and every day. Someone's making sure it's curated and it's taken care of. And so what would happen is, if you can't take care of what's going on where you're at, you're going to move somewhere that looks better. You're going to kill that lawn because you couldn't take care of the lawn where you were at. Look, let's just hire a good landscaper. I'm kidding. But you have to just deal with it. Quit running from our problems. The first time something is a struggle, I'm not even talking about physically taking off. I'm talking about mentally checking out. Right? Well, I'll just get myself out of this situation. You know, we mentioned this morning, my boss is mean to you. They all are. Now, if he's violent or other things, I understand that. But so often, we just don't want to deal with the issues. And you know what's happening? Let me just say, sometimes God puts us in a situation because he's trying to teach us something. He'll give you that boss that's just a little bit prickly because God's trying to teach you how to get through that. And you're like, I don't want to deal with it. I'm going to move on somewhere else. And you know what God does? God said, I'll give you a different one. He'll look different. He'll have a different name. But I'm trying to teach you something here. Let God teach you in these difficult times. But don't just get discontent with where you're at. Why else do we make bad decisions? Because we believe conventional wisdom. Continue on in that verse. The more part advised to depart thence also. Everybody got on board. You know, the guys who had financial reason, they of course they said take off. Now the other one's like, oh, they said take off. Must be a good idea. Let's do it. You know, the majority says to do this. You know, the majority's usually wrong. Well, conventional, by the way, there's no such thing as conventional wisdom anymore. I just don't even want to hear it. Well, you Christians are ignorant. You know, your school is this and that, and your science program, it is up there. Listen, if you're going to a school that does not understand that if a guy's born a guy, he's a guy, and a girl's born a girl, he's a girl, that's a wrong school to go to. I'll throw that out. Why would you go? Don't tell me that they know stuff because they don't. Because everything's political now. Science is now political. It's not even truthful. And if someone finds something that is helpful or true, but it goes against conventional wisdom, it's shouted down. That was just not the message, but we're over here. But conventional wisdom. The world doesn't understand the things of God. The world will tell you all kinds of nonsense. But you know what? What doesn't make sense sometimes in the world, if God says to do it, it makes sense. Like, let me give you for instance. It makes zero sense to believe that if I tithe and give 10% of my income away, that's best for me financially, right? Let's just do the math. That doesn't seem like a good numerical idea. How many of you would agree with that? Not spiritual, I'm talking about just numerical. Like, my bills, I have all these bills. I know what I'll do. I'll just get rid of 10% of my income and it'll make things better. That's not conventional wit. That does not make sense. But it makes great spiritual sense when God says to do it and says, I'll bless you for it and I'll take care of you. It's not conventional wisdom. I'm a numbers guy. Okay? Tuesday or Wednesday, I sit down with all the financial numbers from the church and I go over them with a fine-tooth comb and I get numbers. And to give away 10% and you have bills makes no sense, but God says do it. It's a spiritual thing, so it makes great sense. You can go all over it. Well, I do what I want, and that makes me happy. That's conventional wisdom. God says, live for others. Live for me. Give your life to me. That is how you find joy and happiness. And you can go on and on. You know how else we make bad decisions? We seek a better position. And this doesn't necessarily mean a place. I'm just talking about anything outside of a situation, whatever. He says, same verse, if by any means they might attend unto Phoenix and there to winter. Says, you know what? Let's get out of here because that's going to be a better place. Now again, if it's in the middle of summer and you can choose Fair Havens or Phoenix, then go there, right? I mean, where would you rather vacation? Hawaii or Wichita? Wichita just sounds bad. I think I have been through there, but it's probably a great city. It just doesn't sound good, right? So you would choose, you know, whatever, Hawaii, you're going to choose. But let me just say this, in a context of what was going on right then, Fair Havens was the place because they weren't going to make it to the other place. It was dangerous to go to the other place. And so we have to be very, very careful. We want to make these decisions and we're going to get ourselves in trouble. So we have to be very careful about that. And we look at everything like, well, this will be better for me. Young people, you can do that with your lives, right? As I mentioned jokingly, and he just recently passed away, I believe, Russell Anderson. He was a millionaire that always just gave millions of dollars over his life to ministries. If I had an invitation and said, who wants to be a Russell Anderson and make millions and give it to the ministry and give it to missionaries, we need a bigger altar. But who wants to be a missionary and go where no one else has went? Crickets. Well, I'd rather have the money than I get some of it, and then, you know, I get to do this. It does sound better. What does God want? Do you think God wouldn't send you somewhere that you won't be ecstatic to be there? Right? If it's where God wants you, it's gonna click with you. And you're gonna love that. And then we make bad decisions when we follow favorable circumstances. Okay? Satan has so many tools in his chest. Look at verse 13. So Paul says, don't do it. Everybody says, yeah, it sounds like a good idea. Let's go. And then look at verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. You know what they did? They had a really good day. Like, the weather's great today. Not here, but the weather's great. This must mean it's a good decision. Do you know weather changes? Right? Now, I remember when we were in when I was in Chicago, there'd be times you'd be in Chicago and you start out, we'd be out visiting on Saturday, it was a beautiful day. And then the wind would get kicking off Lake Michigan and these storm clouds would roll in and start pouring. And the temperature would go down 25 degrees, right? And it's like, man, what happened? It was a great day when it started. And it's like, this is great, the weather. See, this is God's will. Everything is working out. Yeah, you know, Satan works things out too. Let's go back to Brother Jonah. I'm out of here. He goes down like, hey, there's a ship. It's going where I want to go, away from God. There's the ticket. Everything's working out. Circumstances say this is a good move. Circumstances aren't always the right thing. Now, you really want me to pick at us? Be very careful, because sometimes circumstances will work out, and God will give you this job, but you have to work every single Sunday. And you can't go to church anymore. Oh, but this is what God wants. You know, when we helped start a church in Florida and we were all looking for jobs and money was super tight, and I had one job and the guy lied about me and I got let go and I needed a job. And there was a maintenance job at a church. It was a Southern Baptist church. And I thought, you know, it's just maintenance guy. I went down there and I talked to the guy. And he was a nice guy. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be in ministry. I'm just training and helping to start a church here. He goes, man, I really want to hire you, but, you know, you have to be here on Sunday. I didn't have a job at that time. He goes, but you can't go to your church. You got to be here. And I'm like, but the whole reason I came here was to plant a church. I can't do that. He goes, man, I want to hire you. You're the best candidate. I want to help you. This would be great, but you can't, I can't do it. And I'm like, so I walked out without a job that I desperately needed. But you know what? It's just like, God, I mean, I just happened to walk in, just happened to see the guy. He interviewed me on the spot and said, you're the guy, I want you. But I wasn't going to do it. Sometimes circumstances don't mean things are right. You know what makes things right? Because they're right. We blame all kinds of stuff on circumstances. Now, what's the point? Let's make the right decisions. Let's be willing to be led right. And if we're leaders, let's be willing to push things in the right direction. And let's not let the things going on around us cause us to make decisions that aren't right. Wait, my friend's doing this. I don't care what your friend's doing. Your friend has God's will, and you have God's will, and it may not be the same. See? God has, and you know, I know it sounds so trite, right? God has a great plan for you. He does. And if you follow exactly what he wants for you, you will be joyful, content, fulfilled. It'll all be good. But there are so many things out there that are going to pick away at it. Are you going to stick with it? You going to follow? You going to be like these guys? Everything's working out for us. We're going to get out of Fair Havens. They did. And they ended up on a there was a bunch of barbarians living there. And it was hard because they didn't do the right decision. Make the right decisions, folks. Amen. Let's understand, let's not make them so quickly, and let's not make them so half-heartedly. Let's take some time, and let's make sure we're following God, because that's the only way to guarantee that you're going to head to the right place. Let's stand together this evening, if we may. Thank you for listening intently. Let's just stand together for a minute. All of us make decisions. I can think of times in my life where I've made the right decisions, many of them. But you know what? I can think of times in my life where I made the wrong decisions. I know the difference. Unfortunately, the decisions I made were life-altering and life-thing. I got back where I was supposed to be. In those times, usually because I made a quick, and I can think of times when I made a decision, and I've given illustrations here before, and I was going to do something that was the wrong decision, but I just said, I'm going to wait and see how it goes. This is what I think I'm going to do, but I'm going to give it some time. And God, if you want to change everything, go right ahead. And he did. He did. Do you really want to find what God has for you? Do you really want to make the right decision, even if it goes against what you think is the right decision or what you feel is best for you? Then follow the right way. I don't know what God spoke to you about today, but if God spoke to you about anything, why don't you come? Why don't you come? Especially you young people, the decisions you're making today will determine who you marry. They will determine where your life ends up, all of that stuff. Don't make that so haphazardly. Don't do it. Some of you, God has great things for you, and if you will just stay on his path and you will let him lead you and guide you, you can look back and say, man, I am so excited about what God is doing in my life. Life hasn't always been easy, but man, I love where I'm at and I love what I'm doing. If you asked me years ago if I thought I'd be doing this, the answer would be no. And if you asked me years ago if I wanted to do this, the answer would have been no. God led. Trust him. Trust him.